Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now, let's crowdsource our own front page with your local news. Call in now with headlines from your block or your neighborhood. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. We're calling this the Real Local News. Local headlines from your block or your neighborhood that don't make the actual front pages. 212-433-9692. Something from around your parts that's not getting a big headline, but that you think deserves to. What's the real local news in your neck of the woods? What's not in the actual headlines that deserves to be? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. All our lines are full. Get in as people finish up, starting with Lisa in Westchester. Hi, Lisa. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. What's the real local news?
Our real local news in Yonkers is that we have a mayor who was a Republican who turned Democrat when everybody was voting Democrat, and he recently fired our superintendent, who we love dearly, Bernard Perazio, who was excellent superintendent for the Yonkers public school system, did a whole lot more for the system than Mike Spanel, the current mayor, and his family, who's been in politics in Yonkers forever, ever did.
I don't know the players. So according to you, what's the issue here? Why was he really fired, and why shouldn't he have been, in your opinion?
Well, Mike Spano, who is the way we do our boards of education here, is the mayor appoints the everybody on the board, and he had appointed a group of folks, and then they did an audit, and they found some error in the budget. Yonkers always has all kinds of stuff in their budget, but they found a deficit in the budget, and they blamed it all on the superintendent, accepted his resignation, quote unquote. At the same time, the mayor said he wants mayoral control because of these kind of oversights that need to happen. So he got rid of him because of a pen error in the budget, which is
so. What do you think the real
always been doing?
So what's
so
the real?
I don't know. And they all reviewed the budget and approved it.
Right. So Lisa, wait. What do you think the real agenda is here? Do they actually have some education policy disagreements, standardized tests, union contracts in Yonkers, something like that? Why would the mayor really want the school superintendent out if he was doing a good job?
I think the school superintendent chose to keep their books and their budget close to the mayor, and the mayor wants more access to that so that I guess they can decide how they use the money in the city and take it away from the school.
More control over the money. Gotcha. And I'm going to leave it there. Lisa, thank you for starting us off with the real local news from Yonkers between the mayor and the school superintendent. And Arish on the Lower East Side, you're on WNYC. Arish, right? Did I say it right? Arish?
It's Arish, A-R-E-S-H.
Thank you for
calling. Thank you, Brian, for having me on the show.
And what's the real local
news? Thank
you
for this local news. It's very rare to get this kind of good energy coming out across the city.
Great. What you got?
So, yes, I'm here in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. This is I'm one of the members of the Children's Magical Garden and also a member of the New York City Community Garden Coalition. We had a fantastic lungs, this is the Lower East Side's urban gardens, rally last Saturday with wonderful kids, basically a celebration through the community gardens of New York City, really to celebrate waking up the spring awakening.
Is there a particular endangered garden on the Lower East Side?
Absolutely. Actually, the one that I attend to is the Children's Magical Garden, and right now we're in court defending it with an adverse possession case, basically saying that we've been there 30 years in adverse of the land, and we are trying to protect it against developers, which, you know, are just going wild here down in the Lower East Side.
Right.
And also in solidarity with community gardens across the city, there's basically 6 community gardens in Coney Island, which we just visited recently, saying that, that they must be preserved. There's also gardens in Harlem, still 6 or 7 of them, under housing preservation and development. And we're looking forward to our new mayor to make sure that these gardens are made permanent and have a really good policy.
Now, let me ask you, Arish, are you concerned at all about Mayor de Blasio's emphasis on building so much affordable housing? And we mentioned the big announcement that he has coming with what we expect to be the overview of the policy on Thursday. Do you think that could compete with community gardens for use of otherwise vacant space in the city?
Well, you know,
in a way that it might not have under Bloomberg?
Thank you for that question. Yes. Well, we actually look forward to working, because when we invited him to our forum for community gardens last year, his answer to our questions was that he would work with creating housing and green spaces together. It's always been one against the other in previous mayors, but now we look to really creating, mm-hmm. let's say if there's any land that's being created, some of that land should be a community garden that really then goes into the community and is shared with the housing itself, as well as, you know, rooftops and so forth. But that's one of his answers, was that he mm-hmm. is absolutely working forward to making that happen.
Well, we'll see if it comes down to either or on some plots of land. But who owns the land that the Children's Magical Garden is planted on, the one you're trying to preserve?
This one, the case is actually against the previous owner, Hoida, and the new one, Marom. And basically, they are claiming that, you know, this is their land, and we're saying no, as adverse possession goes. Whoever tends the land for 30 years with the children, we are the ones who are taking the, you know.
Thank you for tipping us off to that court case. We will definitely keep an eye. Arish, good luck. And Martin in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Martin. What's the real local news in Morningside Heights?
Hey, good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
The news is we've been this actually has to do with de Blasio's Vision Zero plan. A group of us has been working with the community around Morningside Park and along the stretch of Morningside Avenue from 116th to 126th Street to do some traffic calming. And we've gotten the support. This street runs along the border of CB9 and CB10. And CB9 has approved the DOT plan to calm the traffic there. It's right now, it's 4 lanes, 2 in each direction. And the plan is to turn it into 1 lane in each direction with a turning bay, since you have the park along one side, and then southbound traffic can get out of the way and turn left. It's a great plan, but CB10 has been stonewalling. And so the news is, this weekend we're having a barbecue, and we've got 1,000 signatures on a petition, and we're working to get more of them to help nudge CB10 to move in the right direction and support the DOT plan.
Is Morningside Avenue that big hill west of Broadway, kind of behind Columbia University there?
Yeah, that's the park. There's that big hill, and Morningside Avenue is down below. It's the part that's down low, not the part that's up high. So you have Morningside Drive on the west side of the park, and on the east side of the park is Morningside Avenue.
And you want traffic calming there because cars speed up and down?
Absolutely. We've clocked them going 45 miles an hour, or I think maybe even a few have gone more than that.
If they're trying to go from more north or more south, past that area, bypass the whole Columbia mess, they speed on Morningside Avenue.
Pretty much. Although the traffic volume there is surprisingly low. That's one of the reasons that the DOT wants to do this plan. Is you have low volume, but because you have wide streets, it could be any time of day. People just use it as a speedway.
Right. Martin, thank you very much. Carol in Milburn, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's the real local news from Milburn?
No, there's a lot of local news, but of course it revolves around the schools. We have an issue in our town about people from other school districts or other towns putting their children in our public schools. And obviously not paying the taxes. There was a study that was done through a Verify address database of the district a few months ago that said that there were 1,000 students whose addresses didn't match the addresses they had given to the school district. And there was a situation 2 weeks ago where 3 children from the same family were removed from the district. They had all been in the district for over 5 years. So it's just, you know, it's an issue about...
Is this a class thing? I know Millburn is a pretty well-to-do district.
It's not a class thing.
If you're checking people's addresses, is it that people from lower-income communities are sneaking their kids into Millburn schools?
No, there's... I know of people from a neighboring town, which is would be the same economic strata as Millburn, who are putting their renting inexpensive one-bedroom apartments to get the address
because
of Millburn
because the schools are so good.
Yeah,
and
it's you know it's a problem because it's
why?
Not so bad
overcrowding?
To be rated the number fourth high school in the state, but the reason why it is because of the overcrowding in the classrooms. So, you know, the other thing is so this family that was removed, you know, was calculated that the taxes that would have gone, they would have paid that the kids cost the school district was about $270,000. You know, if I didn't pay my $270,000 in taxes, I think there'd be some penalties
right.
for that.
So live here or don't, but don't squat in my schools.
What's that?
Live here or don't, but don't squat in my schools.
Yeah, or pay tuition.
Carol, I'm going to leave it there and move on. Thank you very much. Now, here's one that came in on our comments page. Maybe we can crowdsource an answer here for Ian from Harlem, who posted this to our website. He writes, last night around 10 o'clock, I got off the 456 at 125th Street, and there was a major disturbance. So many people, he writes, so many ambulances and so many police. It was like a hornet's nest had been disturbed. Within minutes, there were at least 20 police vehicles and helicopters overhead. I've not seen anything on this in the news. Have you heard anything? We haven't seen this either. So listeners, if you know what was going on around the 456 subway station on 125th Street last night around 10 o'clock, post it to our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show and give Ian his answer. All right, the real local news, what's happening on your block or in your neighborhood that's not making the regular news. How about Paul in Westchester? Paul, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. I'm calling because there's a real kind of a quiet heroin epidemic starting to unravel in northern Westchester and southern Putnam County. You hear stories about young high school to young 20s kids overdosing on heroin. And what seems to happen is that they got their hands on OxyContin, become addicted to that. And then heroin, which is becoming more available, is a lot cheaper, and they often switch over to that. And I think when you consider the shame of having somebody in your family, perhaps, with this problem, it doesn't really get out there until it's too late. And so quietly, heroin is spreading in the northern suburbs of New York.
And this is a national problem. We did a segment recently. There's been a lot on the networks about, as you know, the prescription painkillers become so expensive, heroin, which is much cheaper, is becoming a much bigger problem around the country. Maybe the new wrinkle that you're putting on it for a lot of listeners in our area is that in a part of the area where people may not suspect this is going on, like leafy northern Westchester, it's going on.
Right, and you know it's atypical of what you would stereotype a heroin addict. A lot of kids, you know, they're kids that are involved in school. Some of them have been athletes, but it just gets in there, and I don't think they recognize truly how dangerous it is. And you know, young people are having their lives cut short by this.
Paul, thank you for raising the issue. Kathy in Sunnyside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy. What's the real local news from Sunnyside?
Well, actually, we've been sort of the epicenter for the Big Dig, the Sunnyside Yards, East Side Access Project linking Long Island Railroad with
Grand Central. Right.
And I've always been, this has been going on for at least 7 years. And
for people who don't know where this is, Sunnyside is Western Queens. It's like 44th Bliss Street on the number 7 train, just a few past Queensborough Plaza, right?
Right, but actually the Sunnyside Yards is closer to Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
It's down by Northern Boulevard and Jackson Avenue around PS1 museum. It's kind of the bedroom community now for Manhattan and Long Island City. It's more Long Island City.
Okay.
And what's happened is this has been environmentally, I think, very harmful for the community. I photographed 6 years ago six or seven-story mounds of dirt that they had, or dirt or whatever it was, that they had excavated from the tunnel and just let it, you know, blow in the wind. It's acres of construction, of tunnel digging, with, I think, no accountability for environmental issues in the community. I don't think the community board has done anything about it or held the MTA to task about this. And I had noticed when this started that there were, you know, just my windows were so dirty, you know, in ways that they weren't before. So,
in fact, this is getting worse. You know, WNYC News coincidentally had a story on this today. Newsday has a story on this today.
Sinkholes.
Right.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, sorry.
Right. No, go ahead. The sinkholes.
No, and actually, I found out maybe a year or two ago that they had to, again, this is hearsay in a way. I don't remember my source, but they had to stop digging this tunnel from Jamaica because they found what may have been radioactive soil. And I really wonder if there's not radioactive soil in Long Island City. I mean, I really wonder how far the MTA went with the EPA on doing an impact study for the neighborhood. And I don't think anybody wants to address it. I think what they think is, oh, it's bringing jobs to the neighborhood.
Right.
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, you know, tunnel diggers are highly skilled people, unionized, and I don't think we have many in Long Island City or Sunnyside.
Messing up the environment in Long Island City and nobody being held accountable. Kathy, thank you very much. One more, and to finish on a lighter note, I think, Sonia on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sonia.
Hi. I just want to tell you about this wonderful tulip festival. At the Westside Community Garden, we've got 15,000 tulips, all planted by volunteers. And we own the garden, by the way, Brian. We got grants years ago. Brooke Astor is a major donor. And there's no way we're going to be evicted. We've got the vegetable plots for local people. And please come. They're all in bloom.
15,000 tulips. What's the block?
It's between Amsterdam and Columbus and 89th to 90th. It goes through, but it's mid-block between Amsterdam and Columbus.
Thank you very much for the real local news from the garden on the Upper West Side. And thanks to all of you for crowdsourcing an alternative front page for us this morning, the real local news from your block, your neighborhood. Keep posting them. Keep reacting to the ones that came onto the air at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.